And he is out for the very best for his children. And tonight we're looking at our subject matter, yes, because everybody's getting ready to go back to school. All schools are going to be back in by next week. And we're looking at somewhat tonight, sort of a last Wednesday evening before Awana's begins to split. I want us to focus tonight on biblical discipline. We've been talking about all summer long on Wednesday evenings being encouragers. And biblical discipline has for us the opportunity in it to encourage. Now let's read through and then we'll tie some things together with all of this tonight. Colossians chapter 1, let's begin in verse number 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now again, let me say this. Paul is writing to the church much like he would be writing to his child. This verse should be the prayer of every parent and grandparent here tonight in regards for our families. Now look at verse number 10. Here's Paul's desires, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what we've been studying on Sunday mornings through the summer, increasing in our knowledge of who God is. This Sunday morning, we're going to look at the name of God, for God the Everlasting. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, in these verses, Paul is writing again to the church, and they are to his heart as his children. And I noted out 10 things that Paul wants his children to learn. He wants them to have. Notice if you, he said that you would be filled with knowledge. He said that you would have a spiritual understanding. He said that you would walk worthy. He said that you would be fruitful in good works. And then he said the fifth, number 5, was that you would know God. Number 6, that you would be strengthened in your power. Number 7, that you would learn to be patient. 8, to be joyful. 9, that you would have deliverance from darkness. And the 10th that I had written down, Paul's desire for us, for the church, was to be forgiven. Now, I want you to notice tonight, we are looking at basically 10 principles for Spirit-filled discipline. Now, we hear all sorts of different stories, and the news is full of things having to do with... I know that tonight the local news was talking about a 28-year-old couple who were arrested this week for the death of their 4-month-old child, who was found with bruises on the body and in particular on the head. Let me take care of them. Let them be taken care of the way the Scripture talks about. Don't give them 15 years in an appeals court. That is not discipline, especially when it comes to a 4-month-old baby. There's abuse that is there. And I've heard it through many, many years of experience here. I've talked to young people about broken hearts and broken relationships and wounded spirits and even down to closed spirits. And I've been in a position as a youth director, youth pastor for a while, and talked to parents, and I've had parents give excuses for physical discipline. I've had people, I jotted a few notes down. I've had people say, I never had a Christian home. And that's an excuse that they use because discipline was not right. Well, my dad hit me around a few times. I had a man tell me that. I'm under a lot of stress at work. Your work shouldn't have anything to do with your discipline. There's a lot in my past that I'm angry over. And all of those are excuses. But let me tell you this tonight. Excuses don't justify actions. Now, I want us to look. God has a different roadmap for biblical discipline. Every area of our life. You know, we say this so often, but I don't know that we truly live this out. God wants to be involved in every area of our life. Not just our Sundays and Wednesdays. It's every area of our life. And God has set forth for us as parents, grandparents, employees, employers, all through our life, He set out ways of discipline. I want us to look at some of those tonight. Now, it's not really a rocket science thing, but it's going to require of us a couple of things. This is not in your notes tonight, but here's what it's going to require. Number one, it's going to require a teachable spirit. You have to get to the place that you understand, I don't know everything. Now, if you know everything tonight, come share it with me because I don't. You have to have a teachable spirit. Number two, you have to have a humble heart. And number three, you have to have submission to biblical principles and guidelines. And so what good spiritual biblical discipline then requires is that we have personal spiritual growth and that we work together to develop new habits that we have not had before. So let's look at these 10 principles quickly, if we may. And as you look down, you'll see that there are a couple of verse references with each one. I'll comment on them as we go just briefly. Discipline that develops the heart. That's what we're after. So many times in discipline, if we're not careful, we're trying to change behavior. And we're going to emphasize that in the next few moments. That is carnal discipline to try to change behavior. You will not change a person's behavior unless you change their belief. And when you change their belief, you will effectively change their behavior. So as we look at number one, we find that discipline that develops the heart of a young person is, number one, controlled and premeditated. What does that mean? It's planned. You'll notice there, spirit-filled discipline doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't fly out of control. You have the verse there, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit. We've talked about that for about 7 weeks now, either on a Sunday evening or Wednesday evening at some point. If we're going to be encouragers, and I want you to hang on to that word, because I'm going to show you something in a verse in a few minutes that I think we have probably read through and read through and read through, and we've never grasped it. So when we're looking at this, it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his own spirit than he that taketh a city. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Here's the verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. How many of you have ever heard that before? Would you raise your hand? Most all of us have heard that. We'll go into in a little while what that word provoke means. To stimulate. To give rise to cause reaction or an emotion. Now, notice what that says. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. But have we really followed through with what the second? We pull that one out real quick, but that's not the end of the verse. Notice with me, if you would, the end of the verse. Lest they be what? Discouraged. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So biblical discipline, scriptural discipline, is always controlled and premeditated. It doesn't fly off the handle. We'll cover some other symptoms and side effects with that as we travel along. Discipline that develops the heart, number two, biblically principled and corrective. A spirit-filled discipline rests upon the authority of God and God's Word and isn't easily manipulated. It's always, spiritual discipline always brings the biblical into play. It's resting on God's word, and that gives us, tends to give us the understanding. You know, when we discipline or when we ask a child, we ask one of our children to do something, most of the time the way that we ask them, you know what we're trying to do? Get them to obey us. And I know that I'm the only parent in this room that has ever said this before. Because I told you so. Now don't you laugh at me. Because I have a feeling there's one, maybe two other parents that have said that. Notice what we're looking at. It's principled and corrective. In other words, spiritual discipline isn't about my agenda as a parent because I said so. Because I said so is carnal discipline. Spiritual discipline is helping my child to understand from God's viewpoint. I'm going to illustrate that in just a few moments as best we can. Now, I will tell you this. As a child, our children, there are things that we ask them to do or tell them to do or insist they do that they may not understand. Now, let me ask you this. Has your Heavenly Father ever asked you or told you to do something that you did not understand? Yes. I don't understand all the things of God. And the Bible nowhere does it say that I have to fully understand Him, but it does say I have to fully trust Him. Why is it tonight that I trust God? Because He has proven Himself to me. Respect has to be earned. And the longer you know, the song that we sang a little while ago, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer we know Him, the things that He does for us cause us to respect Him more and trust Him more. And sometimes in our correction, we throw out that because I told you so. We want the child, we want children, we want our grandchildren to obey us so that it fits our agenda. Now, I've been in places before. I was in one not too long ago. It seems like every time I go to the store, there's one of these there. There is a child that wants cookies. And I'm just pulling that out of there. And there is a mother who says no. And quite truthfully, the mother is louder than the child all through the store. When you watch this happen, some ways it's humorous. I was behind somebody in line one time. And it was a fella, big old strapping guy up in the front. He had one of those 4-pound belt buckles on. He was standing in line. The child behind him was just screaming for a candy bar. And the mother was screaming, no, you're not having a candy bar. And that man turned around and looked at that mother. And he said, I got just what your child needs, ma'am. And she said, what's that? And he said, right here. She started pulling at his belt. You know what she was most interested in at that moment? She wanted that child to be quiet. Now, we'll develop. These thoughts are continuing to develop. Number one, controlled and premeditated. Number two, biblically principled and corrective. Notice the verse, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, third, discipline that develops the heart. Number three is instructive and nurturing. Spirit-filled discipline moves beyond reaction and actually instructs and teaches. Real discipline will help you think through the values. Now, the object of our discipline should not be for the child to be quiet at that moment. Too much discipline is dealing with right now. The object of discipline needs to be for the rest of the life. I told you, you can learn more by watching people oftentimes than you can saying anything. Now, I watched someone in our school not too long ago sit down with a child that was in trouble. and they had been sent to the office. And they were sitting in the conference room talking back and forth. And the adult was not railing on the child, but was simply asking the child questions and allowing the child to respond, which we'll talk about when we get to about number 8 and 9. And the adult said this, "What seems to be the trouble today?" And the child said, you know, what we all do with excuses. The child started giving some excuses roundabout. And it had to do with in-class behavior. And the adult, rather than saying, and I'll pick on Ms. Naylor because she's down front. If you want to be picked on, sit either where Mrs. Naylor is or Brother Young is. And the child started talking about this and this and this and this. And the adult said this. What we're sitting here is not about your problem. And it wasn't Ms. Naylor, I'm just saying. Your problem is not with Mrs. Naylor. Your problem is with God. Your problem is not that you're disobeying your teacher. Your problem is that you're breaking a biblical principle of God. The child looked rather perplexed. It took a lot of explaining for them to get to where they understood what was being said. But that's where we have to get with biblical discipline, is to understand that it's principled and it's corrective. It's not all about the punishment. It's not all about punitive. It's about this. It's about restoration. And it's not about them being quiet at this moment. It's about them understanding what God's Word says. Not because I said so. It could be that they are fighting a battle with authority lines. If young people don't get a grasp of authority, one of the worst things that we as adults do in our lines is our children do no wrong. Did you know that? And we respond that way. School's getting ready to start. Let me ask you to do this. And I know we have some parents that have students in here in school, and some of you have children in other schools. Before you call the school and you decide you're going to give the school a piece of your mind, again, a piece that you're probably going to need somewhere along the way, you better take just a break and a deep breath. And you better listen to all sides. Because what you might find out is there's biblical principle involved that a child does not yet understand. I can go deeper in with that tonight. It's about as deep as I want to get with this one for the sake of our time. But it's simply to understand this. The goal of discipline is not to get a child to stop talking. It's to get them to see God's pattern of authority. We could use the idea of cheating. Yeah, as a school and as a student, I'll throw this one out to you. There's a school that I read about a year and a half ago that the young people, some high school guys, senior high guys, figured out how to hack into the school computer. And they went in to change their own personal grades. And so they were changing grades. And then a couple of other students heard about it and said, "Hey, I'll give you $10 if you go in and change my grade." So they started changing grades. Now, I've got to tell you this quickly. The school didn't know what was going on. It all happened. And then students were given scholarships for good grades by the United States government. And then it was exposed. And do you know who they wanted the money from for those scholarships? Those of you that are saying parents, the school, and the church and school have suffered drastically because of it. That's cheating. I mentioned the thing about being quiet. Cheating. If a child, listen, if a child cheats now on a test, that child will cheat on their taxes. And that child will be okay with cheating on their wife. And they'll cheat on God. And that's why it's so important for us to get biblical principles early in discipline so that we can get to the place that it is instructive and nurturing. Number four, you had the verse there in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Read through that. Number four, discipline that develops the heart. Number four is focused on beliefs rather than behavior. Now, what we want to change is behavior. Sit down and be quiet. Walk a straight line. I'm going to hear all those things next week. Kindergarten class has moved away from my office, and it's a good thing with Remy in there. But the last couple of years, I've been amazed at watching the teachers in those classes the first few days of school trying to teach these kids to walk in a straight line and stay here and do this and do this. And it's fun to watch. It's America's funniest videos all in one play. I just bring my office chair out, sit there and watch them. We're interested in changing their behavior. But the biblical truth is we can't change their behavior until we change their belief and what they believe about things. Now, understand, here's a biblical illustration. David had sinned, right? And he said, my sin is ever before me. But his behavior never changed until his belief changed. His belief was this. When he stated his belief, it was not, oh my, I've sinned against Bathsheba. Oh my, I've sinned against Uriah. Oh my, I've sinned against all of my generals and captains and all of these down there. Not that I've sinned against them. His behavior didn't change till his belief changed. And then when he said this, against thee and thee only have I sinned. What he's saying is there's a biblical principle. I have done all of these things as a human being, and my behavior has been raunchy and bad, but it's because my belief was wrong. If behavior is altered without altering our belief, then the behavior will return back. You've heard the illustration. Take a pig out, wash that pig, scrub that pig, paint its toenails, curl its tail, put ribbons in its hair, and what do you have? A beautiful pig. You open the door and let it go outside, what do you have? You have a pig that goes right back where it was before because you haven't changed the heart of it. You have to change the heart of young people. We have to change ours. In order to change our behavior, the belief has to be set and changed. Look at number five, if you would. Number five is this, discipline that develops the heart is focus on restoring relationships. Now, carnal discipline delivers punishment in an effort to change behavior, and it often does that at a cost of wounded relationship. Notice you have there, spirit-filled discipline seeks a stronger relationship, not a broken relationship. Biblical discipline involves chastening, but it also involves nurturing in a peaceful and fruitful way. The goal is spirit-filled parent is for discipline to bring growth and restoration and reconciliation. And I cannot tell you how many times. In fact, Sonia and I today, we're talking about a case with this. Where discipline brings a broken relationship. And at a moment of opportunity, a child will run from the relationship and from the discipline. And so biblical discipline is focused on restoring the relationship. And again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Number six, discipline that develops the heart is listening and encouraging. I'm going to use the word, young people, close your ears for just a minute. Carnal parenting says this, shut up and listen to me. What you have to say is of no value. I am not concerned about what you have to say. Spirit-filled discipline contemplates, it considers, it listens. It doesn't necessarily condone, but a Spirit-filled parent, biblical discipline, causes us to listen genuinely and seek to understand the heart, because it's the heart we're trying to change. And a child responds better to discipline if they feel like they have been heard and understood. For example, if you tell me to shut up, you're simply saying to me, I don't have time, and I really don't care what you have to say. Now, it's when discipline is needed, it's not between you and me. When I do something that my behavior is wrong, Brother Young is my teacher and I go against him, or I go against a parent, or I go against the authority, the God-given authority in my life, and I do something against that authority, it's not between me and Brother Young. It's not between me and my parents. It's between me and God. Now look down, if you would, at Psalm 103 and verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. How many times do we hear David talking to God? How many times do we hear Moses talking to God? And he's not talking to... Listen, Moses said some things to God that when I read through, I go, whoa. I think he talked to God with a tone of voice that would, you know, I'm not talking to God that way. But you know what we find? God listened to him. We'll learn some things from him that way. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him, respect him, or honor him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. So again, I said so is not enough. Discipline that develops a heart. Number 7 is prayerful and Christ-centered. When's the last time? And again, I there's things I wish I could go back and redo. Some ways I was thinking about it, studying, I thought, the Lord ought not give us kids till we're 40. At 40, you see things so much clearer than you did at 29 or 22. I don't want to go back and be a young person again. But there's a lot of things I'd do differently. When's the last time in discipline that rather than hollering and seeing who was the loudest, who could talk the fastest, what discipline you could issue out and how long you could ground and what you could do, that you sat down and listened? And not only listened, but then applied discipline with a biblical principle and then prayed about it. Together. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Carnal parenting throws a fit. It storms in. It storms out. It leaves the damage that is done. Spirit-filled parenting never creates a mess. Biblical parenting never creates a mess. It mirrors God. Now, let me give you a Bible illustration of this. God allowed 12 men to go out and look at the land that he had already promised to give the children of Israel. And they came back and 10 of them gave a positive report, or 2 of them gave a positive report and 10 of them gave a negative report. And the 10 went to everybody else around that they could get and tried to win them over to their cause. They did a pretty good job at it. And Israel turned against God. Israel said, we can't go in. God won't do this. And God judged them. And a whole generation of Israel had to die. That's pretty stiff punishment, if you ask me. If we were to say a whole generation in this room were going to die, that would mean everybody that is from 30 years old to 70 years old. That'd take a good size whack out of this room tonight. So God says, no, I promised this to you, but you're going to behave this way. There's consequences to this. He said, you're not going to go in. This generation will pass, and a new generation will come. That's some pretty stiff judgment. That's pretty stiff discipline. But here's what I want us to see. With his discipline, God gives grace. And they wandered the wilderness, somebody tell me how long? 40 years. Were they hungry? Were they thirsty? Then they said, we want meat. What did God do? Gave them meat. I think that's a humorous story. The Bible says that their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out. I'd like to have a few of those. But there's grace. God said, I'm going to punish you. There's going to be discipline. You have broken the law. You've broken the biblical principle having to do with God's relationship with Him. So I have to give you discipline. But at the same time I discipline you and you're wandering the wilderness waiting for everybody to die off, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to water you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to take care of you while you're there. What is that? That's grace. So what God has done in a biblical scriptural pattern is He has shown them they're wrong. He has given them the consequence. And yet at the same time, He administers grace. Look at number 8, if you would, please. Oh, we could also, and I won't spend a lot of time with this, we could also look at the famine that happened once they did get in. Remember, they did get into Canaan. And about the time they got there and set up house, Joseph was sold off to Egypt. What happened in the promised land? There was a famine. And what happened because of the famine? They ended up in Egypt. What happened when they were in Egypt? They started worshiping other gods. So what did God do? He showed them the biblical principle. He administered discipline. And then He gave them grace. We say, preacher, where was grace? Through Moses. Because God said this, I've heard the cry of my people. I am come down to do something about it. I'm paraphrasing. And Moses, I'm going to use you to do it. Biblical principle. Biblical discipline. Biblical grace. Number 8, discipline that develops the heart is selfless and contextual. Carnal discipline benefits the parent. Spiritual discipline benefits the child. It helps the child to put discipline in the proper perspective. Here is my error. This is why it's wrong. This is the consequence. And here is the grace recovery. And just as God pictured it, He wants us to picture that as well. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 10. It's an unusual verse. Interesting the way it's worded. Maybe we've not read it quite like it is. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, what that verse so far is saying, they disciplined us for their own good. They disciplined us to keep us quiet. They disciplined us for themselves. Now, let's read through that again. And let's put this word in there. For they, administering carnal discipline, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Now, let's finish the verse. But He, who is He? Our Heavenly Father. For our profit. I never really pictured that verse as saying that. Our earthly parents, under a carnal nature, the old man nature, they disciplined us for their own pleasure, for their own good, not for our good. But He, God, disciplines us for our own profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And so again, biblical, scriptural discipline is pictured out. Number 9, forward looking. Discipline that develops the heart is forward-looking. Spirit-filled discipline blesses the heart with hope. Carnal discipline says this: you're no good. And you'll always be no good. There's no chance of you. That's carnal discipline. That's not God discipline. You won't find anywhere through the scripture where when God disciplined anyone, he said, there is no hope for you. But spiritual discipline, spirit-filled discipline, creates hope. The verse of scripture, old things are passed away. All things are becoming. I am glad my God is a God of a second chance. Now, I blew it as a kid sometime in obedience. But let's just be real truthful. I've blown it as an adult sometimes in true obedience. And so spirit-filled, scriptural discipline is discipline that creates hope. What does God say he does for us? He puts a new heart in us. He gives us a new song. He gives us new words. He gives us new associates, new friends. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of life shall be many. Look at 1 Peter 2 and 2. It's written there for you. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Number 10, discipline that develops the heart is obedient to a higher authority. Spirit-filled discipline flows from a heart that is obviously obedient to the Heavenly Father. I mentioned this briefly on Sunday at some point, but I must first be right with God before I can be right with anybody else. And God very specifically tells us if we have offended, or if we even are offended, and we try to pray, he's not going to hear us. You know, wouldn't it be a horrible thing to be in a crisis hour of life and have some offense hanging over your head, and you need immediately to get into the presence of God, and you can't get there? Because we haven't done what was necessary and needful. Obedient to a higher authority. Listen, I'm finished. I told you this before. Had kids in the youth department years ago. Their parents were always late to church. Every Sunday. They were anywhere from 10 o'clock to 10:15 getting into Sunday school class. From junior high all the way through a large portion of high school, that's the way it was. Now, the parents weren't late for work. And they weren't late to the ball field. And weren't going to be late to those places, but they were late to church. It embarrassed the child to death to come in to Sunday school that late every week. Then they got old enough to drive. And then they got old enough to have a little freedom. And they had a job. They had this. And it was time that they had curfew at night. And the parents called me one day and said, we want to talk to you. And I said, okay, fine. So I went by the house and sat down. They said, I want you to talk to our child. I said, okay, about what? We have a set curfew. And the child always comes in 15 minutes after the curfew. I don't need to talk to the child. I need to talk to you. As authority, we must be careful. See, what they wanted discipline on someone who would not be subject to their authority. When in essence, as adults, they were not subjected to. Does God discipline us tonight the way that we discipline? The other day, Sonia and I were in D.C. And when we had kids, we definitely didn't want to go to this place. And I still wasn't really thrilled about it. But it was our anniversary. And I said, I want to do something that she would enjoy doing. We've been to enough car shows. and chicken swaps and that kind of thing. So we went in the botanical gardens. It was 96 degrees outside. And we're going in an enclosed greenhouse. And the place, if you've never been there, it has different rooms. Because they have different plants. They have a room for desert plants. You walk through this door, and it opens up, and you step in, closes behind you. And you breathe, and you go... It is hot and there's no humidity. And for some reason, they take you there to the tropics. So now the door, and you walk into the tropics, and water hoses start spraying on you. And then they take you into another place, and another place. Why am I telling you all this? They take you into all these rooms, and here's what I noticed, and the thing that maybe I learned from going through this place. Those plants all needed something different. They respond to something different. And for scriptural, biblical discipline, every child is different. And every home is different. But this is not different. And so rather than disciplining by personality, our children may be in this area or this area or this area, but we need to use this area to learn discipline. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for teaching us simple thoughts. And help us. I know, Lord, even secular media right now is focusing on the return of American children back into schools. And we hear news reports every day about abuse. We hear reports every day about mistreatment. And Father, help us as a church and as Christians and Christian homes.